Welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Big weekend here in the world of sports. The Titans, a big win against the Washington Commanders. They hold on for the win on the road. The Tennessee Volunteers smash LSU in Baton Rouge over the weekend, setting up what's going to be quite the doozy of the week this week for Tennessee as they'll host Alabama coming up at Neyland Stadium. The Preds win the first two games of the year, and Nashville SC closes out their regular season with a win last night as well. Big weekend in the world of sports. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. You didn't mention the Packers.
Yeah, we're gonna not mention that all day today because LaFleur's on the list, buddy. Let me just tell you, on the list.
Can we talk about the Lions, though?
We can talk about that.
They are just fantastic.
They've gone from the darlings of the NFL to the Detroit Lions very quickly. 29-0 yesterday. It's impressive.
Against Bailey Zappi.
Hey, man. Bailey Zappi's dealing.
Matt Patricia's sweet revenge on his old team. Should have held on to him.
Sure, it was a beautiful, beautiful time for Matt Patricia out there. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. We are also not going to mention the Kentucky Wildcats today on the program.
I wasn't going to say
anything. Doing great.
I was not going to say a word.
Listen, 6 a.m. hour, we just get it out of the way, and then we move forward with our day and with our week.
Shane Beamer, man. Boy, is he that guy excitable. Oh, he's excited.
I will say I did love his post-game locker room video where he put the sunglasses on and he just started dancing. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah. You know, I thought he was funny for a while, and now he's starting to crawl all over the nerves, Joe Rexford. I'll just be honest with you. He is.
Yeah, if he gets to the point where he's, like, winning big there, which, yeah, it's a long way and that's tough, he might be just insufferable, huh?
He's got, like, he's got a little bit of Butch Jones to him. Little bit.
Although the idea of, like, him actually bothering Dabo and then those two kind of blabbing back and forth is kind of exciting.
Yeah, that could be a redeeming quality for Shane Beamer for sure. What a game yesterday in Washington. The Titans get it done 21-17. David Long Jr. with the interception at the very end of the game. And Carson Wentz throws another Carson Wentz death pick. Titans hold on yesterday. They improved to 3-2. Heading into the bye week, Derrick Henry, 28 carries, 102 yards. Big plays on the offense, even though at times it looked like it was a struggle out there, and they get it done 21-17. Joe, let's just start generally speaking. What did you think of the win and the game yesterday for the Titans as they win their third consecutive, this time on the road yesterday?
I mean, it's just not going to be easy, especially with these guys missing. It is going to be tough, and you see just – the issues this team has up front offensively. It's not like it's some new thing, but yesterday it really was like, whoo. I mean, they had some stretches there where it was like, they just, like, you may as well not call pass plays. They did, as you saw late, they called a couple rollouts, you know, and moving that pocket. That's not really a comfortable spot for Tannehill. But look, to me, it's, when it comes down to it, this is a gritty team. And that's just a big-time play, man. It's just a big-time play by David Long. You know, he takes the pick, basically, from McLaurin, throws him aside. Like he knew exactly where Wentz was going on that play. You could tell. He knew he was getting picked. He threw him aside. And just, just a big-time winning play by a really good player. And I don't think he was going to get in anyway. I think Fulton was going to keep him out. You never know. You catch it and you could back in, but it looked like the momentum, the way it was going, he was going to be short. They were not going to get another playoff, but it's a much more spectacular way to end it the way David Long Jr. did.
Well, then you had, you know, everybody was on the field trading jerseys and you had to go through the review process, and, you know, they did have the ball on the one. And I was like, you know, James Lofton on the broadcast, he was like, kept talking about taking a knee. I was like, well, they're not going to take a knee. That'd be a pretty terrible idea. They're going to probably do a quarterback sneak here, which is what the Titans ultimately did. But like you said, just a big-time play by David Long Jr. I mean, look, the Titans secondary, they had their problems in this game, and they gave up a couple of big ones. And, you know, we'll talk about Caleb Farley a little bit later in the show. But, you know, it's the first time three consecutive games. I think was it three or four? The broadcast was talking about this, consecutive games where the opposing quarterback has thrown for more than 300 yards It's a franchise record for the Titans.
Franchise record four straight, yeah.
Yeah, and Carson Wentz throws for 359 yesterday. So, I mean, Joe, I thought yesterday, honestly, was a pretty good representation of the Carson Wentz experience. He can make some plays. Like, that second touchdown throw he had to Dyami Brown was just a beautiful throw. I mean, you can't throw a ball any better than that. He ends up with a great stat line, 359 yards, two touchdowns. But that one pick was right there at the end of the game. Nice little clutch Carson Wentz death pick. It was good.
Yeah, and a total – now, look, I'll also say, to give him a little bit of a break, I mean the play was called for that, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, it's not that you can't come off your first read, but for the most part, whatever the play is, whatever the first read is, you're going to go to that as a QB. But he stared it down just so I mean, you know, and I know when you slow something down, you watch it in slow-mo, it makes it look a lot worse. But it was like immediately head to the back and, the, you know. But it was, I mean, it was the play. It was the play call. Yeah, he's talented. He's fun to watch sometimes. And then he's basically just destined to do that. It's amazing.
It really is. Now the Commanders are 1-4 on the year. But the Titans, after everything we've talked about, Joe, it's been – a struggle at times. The injuries have really starting to take a hold of this team. I mean, look, Nate Davis isn't in there yesterday. That was a gigantic problem for this Titans team. No Bud Dupree yesterday. No Ugo Amadi after practicing all week yesterday. I mean, they had a lot of things really that didn't look good for them heading into that game yesterday. And yet, after starting the season 0-2, they've somehow found a way to dig themselves out, and they're 3-2. And in sole possession of first place in the AFC South heading into their bye week. I mean, look, you've pointed it out. I still don't know whether or not this team is good. I mean, that they've done a great job of digging themselves out to this point. But they do deserve a lot of credit from getting out of that 0-2 hole. Now you're 3-2, and you're in first place in the AFC South. No, regardless of how it's looked, here they sit today in first place in the AFC South.
Yeah, and by the way, Todd from Jacksonville, we hearing from you today, buddy.
Oh, boy.
What is going on?
Been a rough past couple of weeks for Jacksonville. Maybe a little bit of a wake-up call.
Yeah. What did I say they'd win? 9? Oh, boy.
Still on table.
Look, it may come all the way back around here to, you know, Titans-Colts, but that's obviously the next game. You're in position now where with this rest, I mean, you have to get healthier. You have to hope at some point your luck changes. You know, you've got to get your pass rushers back, but you're in position here, you know, to rest up, get a lot of those guys back or some of those guys back, and then really, really put yourself in great position, you know, in the division to win a third straight. I mean, with a ton of football to go, but at least you can see where if they get healthier, they could be pretty good. But it's just the if getting healthier thing is the biggest thing at this point that I find trouble, you know, believing in.
Hey, they did score a second half touchdown yesterday. You know, we talked about that heading into the week. Like, you need to be able to do something offensively in the second half. And I'll be honest with you, Joe. I mean, the first two drives in the second half, they had 6 plays, I believe, for minus 6 yards. That was looking rough there for a minute. And look, even the drive after that, it's looking bad. And then all of a sudden, 61 yards to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine down the field. And to me, Joe, that felt like the play of the game to me. Like getting that ball completed down the field, NWI making a great play to go up and get the ball, and the Titans were able to put it in after that. I mean, it's still, you know, they had the weird delay of game on that drive, and, you know, it wasn't perfect after that. But that play, to me, kind of felt like it settled the Titans back in there. And they were able to do just enough offensively.
Yeah, no, that was a huge play. And, you know, right after big one the other way. And, you know, it was one of those where it's not like he was well covered, but Tannehill's able to buy just enough time stepping up right before he got hit. Because when he released the ball, I actually thought maybe the trajectory of the ball would be affected.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't. And it's one of those plays where you put it up there. And then I thought Westbrook-Ikhine did a great job of tracking it, you know, coming back, tracking it. Hey, look, that's how they probably have to manufacture a vertical shot. You know, it's not going to be smooth and pretty and just put it up there because your guy's beating the other guy. But however you can make big plays with this offense, make them. And I'm with you. I think that changed the game.
Oh, big time. And you're able to score after that. Derrick Henry scores his second touchdown of the day. You know, his yards per carry isn't going to blow you away. Yesterday's at 3.6. Had a lot of carries, 28 carries, 102 yards, two touchdowns. Did have another couple really impressive plays in the passing game, and there's the screen play to him. And then he ran a pretty good, like, choice route where he flashing those hands a little bit. I'm telling you, he's made some pretty good improvements as a receiver. I know he dropped a couple last week against Indianapolis, but those hands for Derrick Henry looking pretty good.
No, they were. The throwback, too, was like, you had to – it was a tough throw. Washington actually had a lot of interference there in the way, but good throw, caught it, big play. So that continues to be a thing that they – and I think it's smart. I like the idea of keeping that screen, around the game plans. I thought he – it was – I still thought he looked really good. It's another case where – and I know it's everything is better in the first half, but he looked really good in the first half. And I think it's probably more than anything the other team is doing just a better job in some of these games against him. But I still think that's three straight games where he looks more like Derrick Henry.
615-737-1025. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, breaking down the Titans and their 21-17 win against the Commanders. We'll open up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And a very important development yesterday defensively that I think is very good news for the Titans moving forward. We'll get to that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's get your calls in here at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And Joe, speaking of the injuries yesterday, there was a moment in the game yesterday for the Titans where I was like, oh, no, you've got to be kidding me. Danico Autry runs off the field, can't make it to the end of the field, drops down on a knee, and I'm thinking to myself, God, you got to be kidding me. With everything that's gone wrong defensively for this group, you can't have Danico Autry going down right now either. Luckily, he comes back in the game. He makes a big sack after coming back in the game as well. So a little bit of avoiding disaster there yesterday for the Titans. I thought he and Jeffrey Simmons were dominant yesterday. And Joe, I'd throw Tyre Tart in there too. Like, those three up front I thought were fabulous defensively yesterday for the Titans.
Yeah, it's a very good trio without question. And yeah, Tart deserves to be mentioned there. Also, by the way, the next to last play, Tart is dropping and like making a great play in the air.
He's like, he may be their best cover player.
Yeah. Tyre Tart, point forward / defensive tackle. But yeah, I agree. Those guys were terrific. And I thought the same thing. It's like, boy. And look, it is still a case with Autry where it's kind of like the Ben Jones Saffold thing, right? Where it's like he's probably going to get banged up at some point or miss some time during a practice week, but always seems to, to answer the bell and make huge plays for his team. He's right there. It's Simmons and Autry. I do think Simmons probably is the most valuable player on this team, but Autry's season so far has been tremendous.
It's been awesome. Jeffrey Simmons, a sack and a half yesterday. Danico Autry finishing with one sack yesterday as well. And, I just thought they did a good job of wreaking havoc up front. You looked on the other side, and good Lord, Ryan Tannehill is going to be having dreams about Montez Sweat yesterday with as much as he was seeing him in the backfield. But I thought the Titans' defensive front got good push up there as well. It wasn't perfect, like we talked about. Carson Wentz had 359 yards passing yesterday. So anytime a quarterback's throwing for 350, yes, that speaks poorly of the back end. It also probably means you can put a little bit more pressure on the quarterback as well. But I thought they did a pretty good job yesterday in that second half of getting after Carson Wentz and, the roughing the passer penalty aside from Jeffrey Simmons, which it's a banner day for roughing the passer yesterday in the NFL. Even Vrabel in the postgame was like, yeah, he came over to apologize for whatever he did to the quarterback yesterday. I love the sarcastic smart aleck answers from Vrabel, like the little shots he throws in the press conference. He threw another one yesterday, but I thought Jeffrey Simmons was awesome yesterday.
Yeah, no, he was. You watch that game, and it's like, boy, if they just had a little more on the edge, well, how tough would it be for that offense to operate? But we talked about last week, where is Washington good? They got receivers, and even without Dotson, they got receivers. They're going to have prolific passing days. They're like most teams that say, like, running the ball is just sort of like, oh, yeah, I guess we should do this. It's been like an hour, you know. But they can wing it around. You put Dotson in that offense, you know, like they can push the ball defender. Their D or O line isn't great, but then the other side, their D line looked awfully good, but it also looked awfully good because of the Titans O line. So, running the ball, pass protecting right now for the Titans offensive line, like, could not be more different. I mean, it's kind of like last year, but it's like, even like Raiden's, I thought was actually pretty good in the run game. And I think a lot of their guys are pretty good in the run game. And they'd probably like to call a run play every play because, man, when they have to protect the passer, watch out.
It was not good protecting the passer yesterday. And then there's the Caleb Farley situation as well, Joe. He gets in there yesterday, and he gives up the 75-yard bomb to Brown for the Commanders yesterday. And basically it was just a go route that they ran and completed it down the field. You know, Caleb Farley's diving at Brown's feet after he makes the catch. And no dice there. Long touchdown for the Washington Commanders. He wasn't on the field for a long time after that and then got back out there a little bit later in the game. But another discouraging day for Caleb Farley yesterday, giving up that deep pass to Diami Brown, which apparently was his first career touchdown. So that's something.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, you know, he's been their guy who, like, oh, what a bust, you know. And looks pretty good. I mean, you can see he's got some ability yesterday. But yeah, with Farley, it's just it's kind of the same thing, you know. And that is one of those things that I think back on. It's like, yeah, it happened here and there in camp where he'd kind of get caught looking and just let a guy blow by him. Racy McMath did it to him one day, like at least twice, and probably more should have been made of that because it's an issue with him. He just bites. I mean, I don't know any other way to describe it. You know, it's not that he's slow or anything. Like, he can run with guys, but if you're gonna play with that technique and screw it up to that extent, basically, you know, you're gonna get toasted.
He's in a really interesting spot with me, Joe. He really is, because I see the ability. Like, I see the size, I see the speed, I understand, like, intangibly. And when you look at what he brings to the table from just an athletic standpoint, why he was drafted, where he was drafted, we've talked about the injury history and all that stuff. I guess number one, it was good to see him on the field yesterday because, you know, with the knee injury later in the week on the injury report and some of the videos that were coming out in warmups, I didn't know that we'd see him yesterday. So it was good that he was out there. But I'm sitting here, Joe, and I know everybody develops differently, but like I'm trying to think of number one corners and good starting level cornerbacks around the league that in their second year are having these big of problems. Like, I'm sure it's happened. Like, I'm sure, you know, the light bulb has come on for some guys, but usually that's not the case. Like, usually by year two, you got it pretty well figured out there, and you're not going to be perfect, and it's not like you're not going to get burned as a corner, but you're not struggling to get on the field and not like this. Like, I understand it's a different year two. He basically was hurt all last year, and he had a different scenario anyway, not playing a whole lot of corner heading into the season. But I got to say, like, I'm very, very, very concerned about Caleb Farley at this point ever turning into what they thought he was going to be as a first-round draft pick. And maybe that's unfair of me, but that's where I'm at.
No, I mean, I don't think it's all that unfair at all. I mean, there are these special circumstances of not playing a lot of corner and very, very serious injuries. But, you know, usually, I mean, look at, again, different situation, but like corner is one of those positions where a lot of times, you know, if you're good and you're like a first round level corner, you can come in and play it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, especially, you know, especially like outside corner, which is, there's a lot more to it if you're, you know, playing in the slot. But I mean, usually or often there are rookies who come in and they're ready to go. I mean, look at McCreary right now. He looks like a natural. He gets beat sometimes. He's not perfect, but he plays the position and looks like a natural cornerback. And you can see, like, you can see he's a good cornerback. Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, obviously you coach it up, but he just Kalafuri just doesn't look like it at all. Like it's a natural position for him. Like he has a feel for it. And I know that's a very vague way to describe it, but that's just the best way I can describe it. Is he just doesn't seem to have any sort of feel for it. A little bit reminds me of like a Rashawn Evans who, when it's like right there it is, goal line, trigger, boom, go. Incredibly explosive and impressive and everything, but just didn't have a great feel for the game. Like a David Long has an incredible feel for the game.
Yeah.
So how do you, you can coach him up and all that stuff, but I think it's really hard to develop that intangible.
I think so. And look, I know somebody's going to look around and they're going to say, well, I mean, you're talking about Caleb Farley. Roger Bakuri gave up a touchdown on the same guy on the next play. I mean, go look at the coverage. It's pretty different. Like, I don't know what else Roger Bakuri is supposed to do on that play.
Be taller.
I guess. Yeah, that's basically,
That play was a great example probably of like what everybody said. It's like, watch the film. He's sticky in coverage. But also, the length. I mean, maybe if he had another, he could have gotten a hand on it. No, he covered him extremely well, and the ball was put, like, I don't know if Carson Wentz could do that again. Where he dropped
that ball.
I don't
know either. It was perfect. I mean, you could not have thrown the ball better, and it's a great one-handed catch as well. But, we've talked about them not trusting Caleb Farley, and, they're unfortunately getting in positions now where they got to put him out there, and that happened again yesterday, and then you just get torched. That's the thing. Like, Joe just kind of felt like he ran straight. Like, it was just a go route, and I'm like, okay, well, just turn and run. Like, what's going on here? I don't get why this continues to be a problem with Caleb Farley. Like, the Jake Kumerow thing was one thing where you're just like, okay, well, that was really bad, but maybe it's a one-time thing. But, I mean, you can't be out on the field if they're just going to run right by you every time.
Yeah, you're right. That's the thing. It's like he bit on a move that was never given to him.
Yeah. You know?
It's like he was it's just too much anticipating and guessing, man. You can't go about it that way, which is, I'm sure, is what he's being told. So like, look, is that something that you can't improve on or change? No. I mean, I wouldn't, it's like, look, it could end up being like Raiden's, like maybe Farley can be some level of asset in the NFL, down the road. I agree. It's hard to see him putting everything together and being close to what they thought they drafted at this point. Maybe he can still be a functional NFL player, which, Dylan Raiden's, who I thought he was kept on the team only to because he was picked where he was. Did I misunderstand that? I'm sorry.
That was thrown out there.
Teams need backup guards too.
They
and
do.
He is one.
Well, and he got plenty of action yesterday on the field for the Titans. It was, I think, an up and down day is fair to describe it yesterday for the Titans. Some good. Some very bad. We'll get to the Titans on the offensive side of the ball coming up next. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
What was your vantage point on David's pick there?
I was on the bench. I felt like when I was on the bench, they were making plays, and so I had sat back down, and as soon as we got the pick, me and Todd were jumping up hugging, so I was happy we were able to still win.
You tried down David, what did you tell him?
By the time I got to him, I was trying to talk, but I was so tired, running about 90 yards to get to him. I just told him, great play, and he's my brother, man. I was just happy, just excited.
That was Derrick Henry yesterday after the big win for the Titans, 21-17 against Washington. It wasn't always pretty, but the Titans get it done yesterday. They improved to 3-2 on the season. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Chris on the text line says, do GMs get a pass for players drafted in the COVID era of 2020/2021? I mean, Joe, I understand that line of thinking. We've talked about that a little bit before, but, not that every team's been perfect during that time, but, I mean, there have been some teams that have had good-looking, successful draft picks in 2020 and 2021 high and round. So don't get a pass from me.
Yeah. everybody had the same conditions. Some handled it better than others. I mean, I have no doubt that especially the 20 draft was affected for the Titans in terms of what they do to, you know, to scout players. But, you know, it's, I mean, the 2020, we understand, you know, how bad that draft is. 21, I mean, you're talking, first of all, you had a lot more ability to evaluate players. And you're talking about two high picks. There's a lot of people you could have taken instead of both of them that could be helping your football team right now. And they are very minimally helping this football team right now.
So offensively yesterday, Joe, it was not perfect. You know, Derrick Henry got going a little bit, especially late in the first half. That drive late in the first half I thought was really good. Derrick Henry, you know, controlled things there. You get a big touchdown before the end of the half there if you're the Titans. Things look pretty good there. You get another one in the second half where things were awful on the first two drives before that. You were going backwards if you were the Titans. And then the big play to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine down the field, and the Titans score a touchdown there. So up and down, probably a fair way to describe it yesterday. Obviously, Joe, the big concern, Vrabel talked about a lot about this in the post game yesterday, was protecting the quarterback. Ryan Tannehill was sacked 5 times, and it felt like, I don't know what the official number of quarterback hits were. Apparently it was 13. It felt like he got hit every time that he dropped back to pass yesterday for the most part. Not great pass protection from the Titans, and yet they were still able to find ways to make some big plays down the field as well. Overall, what did you think of the day offensively yesterday for the Titans?
Well, no doubt. I think Tannehill deserves a lot of credit. When we look back on Tannehill's tenure with the Titans, you know, no one's going to bring up the big win over the Commanders in which he went 15 for 25 for 181 and a touchdown. But when you get hit that much and you stand in like he did and continue to deliver the ball, including, I think, two that Robert Woods should have caught that were key plays and like really good passes under duress. I think you give a lot of props to Ryan Tannehill for what he did yesterday. I thought he was tough. And again, that play that we've already talked about, but the huge shot downfield to Westbrook-Ikhine, which is kind of a, you know, the pocket breaks down, you step up, you're about to get hit, you know, throw it up there. And you had to come back for it. That's probably the only way you're beating a team vertically if you're the Titans right now. But that's just a huge play. So, and with the running game, it's interesting because it looked, like you said, late in the first half on that drive. It's like, wow, they already got them worn down. They looked like they were just really just having their way up front running the football. And then it kind of dried up again on them after halftime. But you still overall got pretty good production there. And you still, with your pass catchers, I mean, I'm looking at Hilliard and I'm like, man, maybe start using him at wide receiver, you know?
Yeah.
he's a weapon out there. And he had second on the team with 5 targets, Woods with 8, only 4 catches. But then, you know, you get one to Hooper for 7, you get one to Phillips for 7, get one to Swaim for 5. And then, of course, you know, you have the one huge one to Westbrook-Ikhine that gives you, you know, a third of your passing yards on the day.
Well, let me tell you this. It was good news for the Titans. You never want to see anybody hurt, but I thought it was good news for the Titans. Chase Young went out there yesterday for Washington because they struggled enough without him being on the field. I mean, Montez Sweat, he had 2 sacks, 4 quarterback hits. I mean, it felt like he was in Tannehill's pocket the whole game back there. And, you know, Jonathan Allen wreaking havoc in there as well. I mean, Darren Payne made some good plays. I mean, it was a pretty impressive day from that Washington front getting after the quarterback. And, you know, obviously if you're the Titans moving forward, that's going to be something that you have to fix. Joe, I thought not a very impressive day pass blocking really from anybody yesterday. I thought especially early in the game, Dennis Daly was getting cooked. Not a great day from Dennis Daly yesterday.
Well, I think yesterday was, and I don't know what the Titans can realistically do, but yesterday may have been a little bit of a warning sign. Like, you guys have got to address left tackle. It's just, yeah, like, what do you do? I don't know. But it's worth continuing to look around, you know, because he's been okay, but that was such a case of being overpowered. And Montez Sweat is very good. Let's give him his props. I mean, he's a really good player. But, yeah, and I thought Brewer – again, with Brewer, it's like you watch him in the run game sometimes. He's fast. He gets the spots. I mean, I think he's really good. And then in pass pro, sometimes those longer guys just overwhelm him. And that happened some yesterday too. I mean, they had issues across the line, across all five at different times. And so, hey, look, that's where Washington is good. Like you said, what does it look like if Chase Young is out there? It's not great. I mean, the time to throw yesterday for Tannehill, that clock had to be sped up so much. And again, that's why I look at just his overall performance and some of the throws he got off and where he got them to. And I'm impressed.
Yeah. I thought he played really well yesterday. And you bring up Robert Woods. I mean, it was clear Tannehill was looking his way a lot. He had 8 targets yesterday, you know, 4 catches, 37 yards. He did make some key plays in the game. You know, there was a couple that he let get away from him that you just can't have as you move forward. I mean, there was one where it was early in the second half, your own basically your own like 5-yard line, goal line area down there. And Derrick Henry, I thought, did a great job of blitz pickup on that play, did exactly what you wanted to do. It's a out route on the sideline. If Robert Woods catches it, he's got a first down there, and he just drops it. Like you got enough problems with the receiving core. Like you can't have your veteran guys dropping passes like that.
No, that was especially important just to get out from your end zone. Gotta have it. So I can't remember the rest the season up to here. Has Woods had a drop? I'm sure maybe one or two, maybe. It hasn't been a thing that I've seen. In the NFL prior to this, in practice camp or anything. So, you know, you could probably chalk that up to just a weird day. Everybody has a moment where they screwed up, but that was a big one for him to gather in. And yeah, I think you're seeing, it's pretty obvious. Like when it comes down to an outside receiver, Tannehill is looking for him first. He does have good chemistry with Westbrook Akinye, but man, you're still talking 3 targets for him on the day. One of them was that kind of, all right, let's just launch it downfield. And it worked, but 3 targets. It's just slim pickings in there, you know, when it comes to, you know, sustaining any kind of downfield presence with this passing game, especially when you're protecting like this.
Hey, man, another big one for Austin Hooper. 1 catch, 7 yards yesterday. Had 1-for-1 on the targets yet again, Joe Rick. So 100%.
You can't be better than that, can you? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
They said, Austin, we're coming to you, buddy. We need 7 yards. He said, I'm right here, man. Let's go.
He did get 7 first down on that play.
First down. What do you want?
Hey, I'm just saying. He's 1 catch at a time, baby. Austin Hooper's just taking over out there. Again, I said this last week. I'm doubling down on it now, especially given what we saw from pass protection yesterday. I've given up on Austin Hooper. I don't think he's going to be a big part of the offense as they move forward here. I'm officially done.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's Hooper and Swaim are the same guy, is what this has amounted to. So, meanwhile, I, thought maybe Chigakonkwo might, start, but, this week just wasn't his week. 1 target was that little shovel pass, right?
Well, he had that, and he had the play in the end zone where he couldn't get that other foot down.
Yeah, that's right.
So I guess
that actually wasn't that. Yeah, that was a tremendous effort, though. And that was encouraging. I mean, that's going to him in a, in a spot, an important spot. And, yeah, boy, that was so close.
It was. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans offense. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from OrderGreen.com.
Yes, OrderGreen.com, nation's number one online shop for all things cannabis. Wide selection of THC, CBD products. You got edibles, gummies, vapes, flowers. They've got everything. These products have tremendous benefits, natural. They help with stress, anxiety, inflammation. And for us, we have friends with serious health problems, and they've been very helpful to them. OrderGreen.com's team has extensive knowledge for every product they offer, so you know you're getting the highest quality stuff. Nationwide, same-day delivery right to your doorstep. You get 25% off every shipment of gummies with a subscription. And if you use promo code JOE20, you get 20% off the first purchase. OrderGreen.com.
Those times when you do get into the red zone, it seems like you maximize. I think you're top in the league in that. What would you say is behind those?
Well, I think that, we've talked about this before, that there's banked reps, reps that they've been running for April. you know, and then being able to put some scheme plays in and have everybody understand them for that particular week. So, you know, we need to do better before we get down there, you know, making sure that we're consistent in our ability to get down there, to continue to produce red zone drives where we have, you know, scored touchdowns. That's been the difference.
How much does it have in a guy like Henry, 1-2 yards?
Yeah, well, I mean, it helps. You know, I mean, it helps. But there, you know, some of these defenses, there's guys that are free, and, you know, we did a nice job of covering them up, and Derek was able to score. You know, I thought that the short yardage run was good. I wish we could have been able to capitalize on that. Unfortunately, that we couldn't. But, you know, Derek, you know, caught the ball great. I mean, really nice catch on a screen. Fantastic, you know, catch to go and frame it and catch it out in front of his eyes. Turn and get up and produce, you know, change some field position, and then Dontrell scored on the next play.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday after a 21-17 win for the Titans against the Washington Commanders. And, Joe, I will say, that's been one thing for a long time now with the Titans. Their red zone offense converting into touchdowns, they've been really good at that. And right now they're number one in the league in that again in terms of converting, you know, those red zone opportunities to touchdowns. So, you know, as you look at the whole here, Joe, probably you want more red zone opportunities than the Titans have gotten through 5 weeks to this point. But once they've gotten there, they've been very good at finishing those drives and converting them into touchdowns. You know, like we've talked about, it's certainly not a perfect offense, but this has been a pretty consistent theme with Vrabel and the Titans. Why do you think they've been so good at red zone offense? And is most of the answer just you have Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be some of the answer, but I think that this is one of the things that people talk about a lot with OCs. I mean, what's important as an OC in this league where the margins are so slim between everything and everybody can move it between the 20s on each other? I mean, this is where as an OC you make your, you know, your bread, your butter. And it's funny because even last year, after the loss to Cincinnati, asking Vrabel about Downing and his job and everything, and that's one thing he immediately brought up, red zone and third down, while saying basically he's a great coach and he's staying. So I think some of the answer is that I think Arthur Smith and Todd Downing have done good things. I mean, they've got a lot of plays down there that have worked in matchups on a given week, and we've seen it this year. Obviously, they have had trouble getting there.
You know, they have.
They've had too much trouble getting there, but they've had some really nice stuff. I feel like going back, you know, Jonnu Smith was a big part of them being a good red zone team. And, you know, even like Corey Dave, I mean, they've had a variety of different guys, but the roster's changed over quite a bit. The OC changes, and that has stayed the same. So you have to give a good chunk of it to 22, I would say.
I tell you, Dontrell Hilliard's been a big part of it this year, though. I mean, just the weapon that he's become out of the backfield in the passing game. You know, you talked about that in camp. That's one thing that we talk about, what translates from training camp and what doesn't. Well, Dontrell Hilliard certainly has to this point. Another touchdown for him yesterday.
Yes. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up.
You're welcome.
You're right. There was one of those things that actually has played out that way. I mean, that was my – and it probably hasn't worked out this well. Like, how many people actually have Dontrell Hilliard doing anything for their fantasy teams? But he was like my fantasy sleeper pick for the Titans. And I said, if you're going to handcuff a running back, if you have Derrick Henry, he's the guy. Like, and that's the case. I mean, if Henry were to miss any time, it would be Hilliard getting the carries. I'm totally confident in that. Doesn't mean Hassan Haskins can't at someday be, you know, a guy who gets a lot of work, but I don't think there's any question right now that Hilliard not only is a third down back, but he's their second best running back, and he's a guy you want to get the ball to. It's an interesting dilemma because, of course, you want to get the ball to your best player. If your best player's out there to get the ball, then where's Hilliard going to be? He's not going to be out there much, but you know what? Maybe a little more two-back stuff and different looks to get him out there. It wouldn't be a terrible idea. This team so lacks for weapons, and he is one.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron on the text line says, what was up with the delay of game penalty in the red zone? Was that on purpose? I don't know what was going on there. I mean, it ultimately ended up working out for the Titans, and they scored a touchdown after that, so I guess no harm, no foul, but it kind of looked like, I guess, and this is without me having any inside information whatsoever, it looked to me like Tannehill, like I guess, expected the coaching staff to call a timeout, and nobody did. And then all of a sudden, you've got to delay a game penalty in the red zone. That was not great for the Titans, but they overcame it and scored. So I guess you were able to overcome it, but still not very good.
No, that was strange. And there's just been too much stuff like that this year for sure. Again, go back to last week and the end of the first half. It's surprising because I don't think that's been a thing at all before this year. So they got to clean that stuff up. They got an idle week to do it.
Oh boy. You got in one of those yesterday. Nice little Twitter discussion of the bye week and the idle week. It wasn't even me this time.
Yeah, I don't know why I chose violence there. It just said Teresa said bye week, and every once in a while I just continue to try to spread the word that it's idle or off, and then people are all mad and calling me pedantic on Twitter, and that's fine.
Didn't go well for you yesterday.
That's fine. Well, that's okay. If people want to get mad at me, they can get mad at me. I'm going to keep fighting the good fight.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Adam from Portland. Adam, thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie. Hey, Joe. Yeah, man. Y'all are killing it today. I want to be a better fan. Like, I feel like the Titans don't just need to get better. I need to get better. I want to be a good fan for them. So I say you're 0-2. You made it to 3-2. That's all I could ask of you. I will say, however, since you have this bye week, just a suggestion. I'm not complaining. Why not bring in somebody? Bring in competition during the bye week to help. I think it's the worst offensive line in football, especially in pass protection. Yeah, if you watch, I don't know, I'm sure you guys did. If you watched that Ravens offensive line last night, I'm just watching Lamar do what he does, and it has to be so hard to be an offensive lineman for him. But they are so good. And I'm like, man, we can't even block for a guy to stand in the pocket for 2 seconds. Like, you need some help. And I don't think that's too much to ask to at least try people out, even if they suck, even if Dylan Raiders is still the best. Try it out. So I'm hoping during the bye week they bring in maybe not OBJ, but bring in a receiver, bring in an extra lineman just to give those guys competition.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, look, it's a really interesting question, Joe, after yesterday, like how bad it was in pass protection. Like, you know, do the Titans have the worst pass protecting offensive line in the league? I don't know. I mean, certainly yesterday I think you could make an argument that it was, although I will say, like, I keep watching Cincinnati, and I'm like, what in the world's going on here? Like, you spent all this money on this offensive line, and you still can't protect Joe Burrow. But, you know, I think it's an interesting question of, with as bad as it was in pass protection yesterday, if you're John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, are you looking around this week and wondering to yourself, man, do we have to do something? Like, do we have to bring somebody else in? Not a great day. We talked about this earlier. Not a great day, really, from anybody pass protecting yesterday. Early on, especially, it was rough for Dennis Daly.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with Adam on, hey, I mean, this year, of course, they've been able to, Terrence Mitchell's out there playing just about every snap for you at corner right now. For better or for worse, he's out there. And you've got in Schobert and Mario. And I think Mario Edwards looks okay at times.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, they're very experienced at going out and having to get guys. So
they are.
I agree. I'd look under every rock for another offensive lineman and a receiver too. I don't know if they're really going to find much, you know, that's going to improve the situation, but yeah, the Daly in particular, just physically being overwhelmed like that. I hadn't really seen that much. Again, Montez Sweat, very good, but it's a problem. They got to be up there. They got to be in the, and I haven't seen like the updated, you know, like advanced stats on, you know, time to throw and all that stuff yet, but I imagine they're very, very low or high, however you want to look at it on the list.
Well, and now, Joe, short list. You know, we talked about this last week about how, you know, Ben Jones for the most part has been healthy to this point, and then in the middle of last week he finds himself on the injury report, and you could see him out there yesterday. I mean, look, he stayed out there to his credit and kept playing, but the hobbling around of Ben Jones has started, and if the past is any indication, that may be something that he deals with all year long, because that's basically been what it's been like for him the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, it's basically inevitable. I mean, it's Thanos, snap your fingers, like Ben Jones is going to start being hurt. Nice. And missing time and all that. Thank you. That's a guy that, like, you hope down the road he's okay, like walking around and stuff, but he's so tough. And look, he's part of, I think, what this team is. You win a game like that, in a lot of games they've won. I think they're 23-11 in close games, right? In the last 34, one score games under Vrabel. There's a toughness and grittiness to that. There has to be. There's no other like consistent across a long period of time explanation. And Ben Jones is one of those guys who lays that foundation.
I got a texter on the text line that says the delay of game was part of the plan. It was to give the receivers more room to run. Tannehill knows what he's doing. Do not question the king. LOL. This is from a texter on the text line. Maybe they're playing chess. We're playing checkers, Joe. Could be.
I mean, we've seen Mike Vrabel take some interesting penalties late in games that have benefited him. I'm just saying.
We certainly have. On my own personal text line from our friend Adam Vingan, please make sure that Joe shows Taysom Hill the proper respect that he richly deserves today. I will say, four combined touchdowns from Taysom Hill yesterday. Pretty big stuff.
Was and I was able to enjoy that with a whole bunch of New Orleans Saints fans yesterday. That was, boy, we all love Taysom Hill here.
I'm sure it was a very special experience for you. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. They've won three games in a row. They've dug out of this hole. What do these last three games tell us about this team as they move forward here coming up out of the bye week? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.